2020 has been a rough year in a lot of ways. It's definitely been a unique year. We know a lot of people that have experienced trials and challenges this year. Perhaps we know more people who have faced more challenges than in many previous years. But thankfully, we have the love of God and the power of God to know that whenever we face challenges and trials, it can be a moment of refinement for us to become stronger spiritually. Now, when you take silver ore and you're wanting to refine it to just have silver, you put it in fire. You have to get it really hot. And during that refinement process, the goal is to separate the silver from the other metals and the other impurities that are in that ore. And so hopefully during the process, there's dross, the other stuff that's not silver, floating to the top that can then be scraped off. And eventually, enough time in the fire, you get pure enough silver that can be considered precious and useful. And in Psalm 66:10, it talks about God refining us as silver is refined. Psalm 66:10 says, "For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined." So God wants us to be that silver. He wants us to be precious. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be strong. The reverse of that, we can see the reverse of it in Ezekiel 22:18. In Ezekiel 22:18, God says, "Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are the dross of silver." So obviously, Israel had become something that God did not want them to be. They had become the dross instead of the silver. And if you go back to Numbers 20, verses 14 through 21, the scriptures that Andrew read for us, and you look at this incident where Israel, after traveling through the wilderness for about 38 years, they had been turned away from being able to enter the promised land because of their lack of faith, and they've been wandering around, basically waiting for the first generation to pass away, the unfaithful generation. And now here they are on the edge of Edom, and they're asking if they can pass through the land of Edom on the King's Highway to make it an easier, quicker path to the promised land. And the Bible doesn't say exactly everything that Edom was thinking about Israel. But I do wonder if Edom had sent out spies to look at Israel, what would they see in the attitude of Israel at that time? Would they have seen silver shining through, or would they have seen dross? Now we do see in Deuteronomy chapter 2, where Moses is recounting for the Israelites everything that they had been through since they left Egypt. Moses says to them, "And the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'You have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north and command the people, saying, You will pass through the territory of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful. Do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as little as a footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession.'" So these people living in Edom, the Edomites, are the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. And it does say in Deuteronomy that they're going to be afraid of the Israelites. So we do know that. But I just want to take this incident, this interaction between Israel and Edom, when Israel is asking to pass through their land, just sort of as a case study, because obviously Israel had been going through the fire. God had been trying to refine them for many years. Every once in a while, the silver would shine through, but many times that dross would bubble up. And that's what God saw from the Israelites. And when you look at what occurred around this occasion, when Israel was at the doorstep of Edom, earlier in chapter 20, it talks about how, once again, the people were complaining to Moses. They were complaining about not having water. And so God had given strict instructions to Moses on how to get water out of a rock. This time he said, take your rod, but he didn't say to strike the rock, he said to speak to the rock. Well, Moses shows his frustration with the people and all their complaining, and so he sort of chastises them and then strikes the rock. So in that moment, God tells Moses, you're not going to pass through into the promised land either, because you did not trust me and you did not follow my words. So we have that instance on one side of when they're at the doorstep of Edom. And then in chapter 21 of Numbers, there's an instant where some Canaanites from Arad kidnap some of the Israelites, take them captive. And so Israel trusts in God long enough to put their faith in God to defeat these Canaanites. But then soon after, the dross just shows back up. They start complaining again. They say, we have no water. We loathe this miserable food that God's giving us. And so then the Lord sends the fiery serpents among them and to put them through the fire again. And so the Bible doesn't say exactly what Israel's attitude was at the time that they were outside of Edom. And Moses does send a messenger that says, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, that our fathers went down to Egypt and we stayed in Egypt a long time and the Egyptians treated us and our fathers badly. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out from Egypt. Now behold, we are at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. So Moses makes this declaration to the Edomites, but once again, I wonder if the Edomites had looked at Israel, what would they have seen? And based on Israel's attitude at the time, before and after, it's fairly likely that it might have been the dross that was showing up. So I want to have you take that into mind and think about the times that we're going through trials and challenges. What do people on the outside see from us? Do they see the silver shining through that God is trying to make us to be? Or do they see the dross? And if they see the dross, then what consequences can that have upon them? What example are we setting for people if we have proclaimed our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and then when we're faced with challenges and trials, they see the dross? So I want to just make 3 points about that. First of all, I think the first thing that people will see in us, if they see the dross during times of challenges and trials, I think it's very common that they will see envy and resentment. Oftentimes when I've looked at this incident in Numbers chapter 20, where the Israelites are coming to their distant relatives' land. So Jacob and Esau were brothers. You know that Esau gave up his birthright very easily. And so there was this strife between Jacob and Esau. But Jacob became God's chosen one, the one who had the 12 children. He was renamed Israel, and the Israelites became his people. And then they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And now they've been released from Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They have been wandering around for all these years in the wilderness because they did not trust and place their faith in God. But now they're seeing this land of Edom. And they're told that this is the possession that God gave to Esau. And so my weak human mind, if I was an Israelite, I would probably feel envy and resentment that Esau's descendants are already living in the land that God gave them. And we've been through all these challenges and trials to get to the promised land. And so I think that as humans, we can often see that when we're going through challenges and trials, we compare ourselves to others. Why is so-and-so, who cheats in business all the time, gets ahead and makes so much money and does so well, and it doesn't seem like they ever have any problems? And you can think of many examples of this. And so I think it's a great temptation when we're going through the refining process, we have to be careful that resentment does not show up. I want to read a couple passages. I want to start with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." So right there it tells us that God reproves those that he loves. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 12, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for good, so that we may share his holiness." So we always want to remember what the end goal is. When we are being refined by God, it is for his purpose, it is because he loves us, and he wants to make us stronger. If you look at the history of the Edomites, throughout the Old Testament, they had a long history with Israel. Once Israel got into the Promised Land, David defeated the Edomites. And over time, throughout the prophets, there were various prophets that were not only given a message by God to deliver to the Israelites, but also to Edom. God had given them this possession of land as well to Edom. And yet in the end, they failed to be refined. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Though Edom says, 'We have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins,' thus says the Lord of hosts, 'They may build, but I will tear down, and men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever.'" So there in the last chapter, or in the last book of the Old Testament, we hear the end of Edom because they refuse to be refined. So we have to be very careful when we're being refined that we don't compare ourselves to others, that we focus on the end goal of what God's purpose is for us. And we need to make sure that we are showing contentment, not resentfulness and complaining. Now, I think another consequence that happens during refinement, if we are showing the dross, if we are complaining about it, if we're resentful, then those who see it, the outsiders who don't have a belief in God, they're going to say, well, that person's faith wasn't very strong. And they're going to have a disbelief in God's power. If we proclaim that our God is all-powerful, and yet we don't believe that when we're going through trials, then others who see that are not going to believe either. It reminds me of Peter's denial of Jesus. We know that story well, that when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him. In Mark chapter 14, it says that a servant girl of the high priest came and saw Peter and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene," but he denied it. So she asked him again, and again he denied it. And he denied it a third time. And all these bystanders were standing around who knew that he had been with Jesus, and yet he was denying it. So what did they probably think of Jesus and his followers in that moment? They were seeing the dross of Peter, and they probably had great doubts about the power of Jesus that they had heard about. But not too long after that, Peter let the silver shine through. In Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, it talks about the apostles being flogged. They flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. And what did the apostles do? Did they go quietly and obey and stop speaking about Jesus? No. They went their way from the presence of the council rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So Peter serves as a great example between the dross and the silver. From a moment when he was being challenged and he denied our Savior, to later being challenged and continuing to do what Jesus wanted him to do, of proclaiming the gospel, no matter what he suffered for it. And so, whenever we are going through trials, when we are being refined, we also want to remember that as Christians, we are representatives of God on earth, and people are watching us. And we want to proclaim our faith in God and that we trust in Him to get us through those trials and that we'll come out stronger on the other side. And so ultimately, I think the last consequence that we face or that occurs if we do not handle the refinement the right way, if people are seeing that dross in us instead of the silver, I think it really becomes a missed opportunity for us to be able to show the power and the love of Christ and to be able to witness to others what the power of Christ really is all about. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but you now are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So as we keep in mind that when we are being refined, God loves us because we are His people, we want to make sure that others see that and see our faith in Him. As Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we are setting an example for other people in this world. We are to be the example that God wants us to be. And we glorify God through that example. And I know that many of you have been fine examples when you have faced challenges and trials. And many people in this congregation, we can think of numbers of times that people have been great examples, letting their silver shine through when they are going through trials. One of the most recent examples I can think of is Diane, when she was diagnosed with cancer. The strength and the courage that she showed during that time, the faith that she showed. And I think about her funeral with so many people sitting here, both from within the Brotherhood and from without. There were people from Pioneer School and other places sitting here, and they heard the fine example that Diane was during that final trial that she faced. How she placed her faith in God and how she continued to keep her sense of humor. And so she let that silver shine through. And young people, I would say, look to the older people of this congregation. See the trials that they've gone through and see how they've reacted and how they've handled it. And see the fine example that you can follow by watching them. And so in conclusion, the trials are going to continue to come. We're going to continue to be refined by God to become stronger. And we just want to keep in mind that other people are watching. Let them see the silver and not the dross during those times. Now, praise be to God. We have His grace and mercy because of the sacrifice of His Son. If anybody needs to experience that grace, that mercy, we're here as a family to surround you with love. If you need encouragement at this time, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.